Good to see each of you. We're going to go to the book of Colossians tonight. Just look briefly at a couple of verses there. I have to be honest with you, when Leonard asked me a couple of weeks ago, I said, oh, no problem, I'd love to, and I really would love to. And then it was announced on Sunday night that I was speaking on Wednesday. I thought, did I say yes to that? So I thought to myself on Sunday evening, oh, you know exactly what I'll do. I just did a great little study in Romans chapter 1. I'd love to share that with the assembly. And then I realized, no, I led that Bible study, and you were all there with me. So I can't do that. So I've been reading another book. I've been reading in Colossians recently, and I've really been enjoying my study there. So I wouldn't say these are fully baked out thoughts. I'd love your input later, or give me a little bit of tracking help later on this evening with some comments on where more I could study along these lines. Nonetheless, I think there's some great little practical truths, simple truths we know, but like every good Bible teacher, an older brother told this to me a year ago, and it's rung true to me in my study since. Every good Bible teacher always tells their audience, reminds their audience what they already know. And so it's good to be reminded of what we know and to think upon the things that we believe. You know, it's important to have a grounding. All right, Colossians chapter number 1. We're going to look at just verse 9 and 10 tonight. I'd love to say we'll get to verse 11 and 12, which are fantastic verses, but there's no way I doubt. There's so many good things here. Let's just read till the end of verse number 10 in Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So here's both Paul and Timothy writing to this church. And he says in verse 3, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ in our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Here's what I want to look at tonight. These verses have really spoken to me these last few weeks I've looked at this book, and particularly in the last couple days I've studied. For this reason, Paul's going to say this. For this reason, he's going to ask a prayer of these brothers and sisters, and it's something that he has been praying for them. So this ought to be a prayer that we pray for each other, and it ought to be our spiritual individual prayer to the Father. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, heard of their faith, heard of what has happened to them. Personally, we have not ceased to pray for you. And what have they not stopped to cease to pray for them on? To ask that you may be filled, big word, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We have to go on to the end of verse 12. We won't make it there in our study, but we have to read there. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening us with all power according to his glorious might. Beautiful phrase there. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his saints of light. Father, we just ask for your help in these next few moments. Father, may we glean something from the scriptures. And as we look word by word and phrase by phrase, may you speak to our hearts tonight. Convict us, challenge us, encourage us, we pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. All right, verse number 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. And this is Paul's prayer for this church. I have made this my personal prayer the last couple of weeks. Specifically, this is the prayer that I, and I'm saying this to you, and you can put your name there, that I may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, knowledge here in the Greek word denotes total completion. You see in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, in him you have been made complete. In Christ we have been made complete. We know that, brothers and sisters, don't we? We've been made complete. But it's good to remind ourselves, good to be reminded of those things. Now, this doesn't mean independence from our Savior, the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean that we have independence from God in our walk, but it gets the idea of you have been fully equipped to serve God, to walk with God. It's like a cargo vessel. You've seen them maybe at the Halifax Harbor before. They load them 10 crates high, massive container ships. And as they go out of the port, they are fully loaded. That's the idea of what is speaking of here. For the believer, we have been fully equipped to walk and to serve God. Fully equipped. Now, knowledge here does not have the idea of arriving at the total truth, the total information. Because you know what? As a believer, I'm sure some of the older believers can attest the amount of times God has revealed something that they didn't know, even in a later age in life. We continue to learn. We continue to learn. But the idea is that you are fully equipped. The resources are fully available to you. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to know the will of God, to serve God. His will. This is a very important part of a successful Christian life. It's a very important part, to know God's will. Now, we know, obviously, of His general will. These are things that we should know if we don't know them. For example, we know that God's will is that no man, no woman should perish. All should come to repentance. All should come to believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus. We know that's a general will of God. We can think of 1 Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus towards you, or to you. So we know of the general will. But you know, I really believe there's also a specific will. And this is a beautiful thing. I would fight you tooth and nail if you didn't say there was a specific will of God for the believer. We have the general will of God. We also have a specific will. God wants to use you for a specific purpose. How are you able to know these things if you don't know God's will? How do we know God's will? From the book. God clearly puts it out. Remember John chapter 15 where Jesus says He has called us friends. He was talking to His disciples. I have called you friends. I have brought you into My counsel. I have told you what I thought. As a servant, I wouldn't tell you my thoughts and my intentions. I'm paraphrasing, of course, what the Lord Jesus says in chapter 15. But He's called us friends. He's invited us in to know His plan. Now, we don't know the totality of our lives, but we know His general will, and His general will, if we know these things, they will inform His personal will for your life. You'll be able to tell, was that the burger I ate for lunch, or is that the Holy Spirit prompting me? You can't tell those things if you don't know the Word of God. You got to know what God says in order to know if it's His will or not. And you know what? That'll inform our interactions with other people. It'll inform our interactions with our family members, our spouses, our brothers and sisters, our co-workers. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, filled has the idea here. This Greek word I looked up, wonderful word. It means to be controlled by. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Controlled by the knowledge of who God is, what He's like, and what He requires from us as believers. What He wants from us as believers. Control, describing something complete, fully loaded and ready to go. The believer has all he needs, all she needs, for the voyage of life. How does this happen? How do we get this full knowledge of God? Where does that lead to? Our next part of our verse says it here. In all spiritual wisdom, this is how it manifests itself, the will of God in a believer's life, the knowledge of His will. It gives us these two things. If you're writing notes, these are the two things the knowledge of God's will bring us. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. Anybody in this room need some spiritual wisdom and understanding? I certainly do. I certainly do. I need some spiritual wisdom. I need some understanding. What's the opposite of spiritual wisdom? Fleshly wisdom. And you know what? I've got that in spades. I can tell you what I think the right decision is. But you know what? Quite frankly, most of the time, what we think is best is not at all what God thinks is best. Spiritual wisdom, being able to discern what it is that God wants me to do in any given situation. Not fleshly wisdom, not things that we can conjure up in our own minds. Because you know what? We're all brilliant in our own minds. Is that not the truth? We all think we know what's going on, how to act, how to handle the situation. You remember Moses. If you go through the book of Exodus, This is something you should study. I studied it. This is fantastic little study. If you study Moses, every time the people complained, every time there was a challenging situation within the camp, Moses doesn't first go to his advisors or his counselors. He doesn't first talk to his friends and say, this load of people, this lot, what are we going to do with them? He immediately goes to prayer every time. He immediately consults God. We can take great umbrage from Moses ahead of us, who every time he ran into a situation he didn't know how to respond to, or even in the situations he thought he should respond in a certain way, he always prayed first. He sought spiritual wisdom and, of course, understanding of a situation. How many times do we think we totally understand a situation properly? And then you know what? A couple years down the road, other information comes to light about that situation, and we had viewed the whole thing completely wrong. Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to me many times so far in my life. I thought I totally judged this situation the right way, and it's not at all what I would have assumed or thought because I didn't have all the information. God here is inviting us to know his will, and this will, knowing his will, his general will and specific will, this will manifest itself in spiritual wisdom and understanding, discernment. This all leads somewhere, though. This is not just to know things. We don't just have to know things. You know, there's many brothers that will pray, you'll hear it, and I know what they mean by it. Have you ever heard a brother pray, we just pray that we would learn more about you tonight? That's a wonderful prayer, and I know what they mean by that, that we would become intimate and know God. But you know, we don't want to just have knowledge for the sake of knowledge. You can know many things about the Bible and not know the God of the Bible, not have a relationship with him. So the idea is not just of knowledge, but this knowledge is leading somewheres. Verse 10, why would we want spiritual wisdom and understanding? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That is the objective. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You know, Boris Bedvedev, I think was his name. I looked this up. I looked up yesterday. Diplomats that have gotten into hot water before. Believe me, there's a litany. If you look at the UN diplomat list of people who have gotten into some hot water, that list is endless. One stood out to me, though, particularly because it was such a massive act of bravery. Now, whether you have thoughts on the Ukrainian and Russian war, that's irrelevant to this conversation. But Boris Bedvedev was representing the Kremlin, the Russian Federation, in Geneva in 2022. Of course, he was one of Putin's puppets and spoke whatever Putin told him to say. But in 2022, when the war began, Boris Bedvedev stood up at the Geneva Convention in front of all the nations of the world, of course, television everywhere, prompting the entire world with his statements that he was rejecting the Kremlin's motives and thoughts and actions against the Ukrainian people. Do you think Boris Bedvedev went back to Russia right after that? No. If you know anything about Mr. Putin, usually with his political enemies, there's always an accident involving someone falling out of a window. There's a lot of people that have made hay out of a window before if you're an opponent of Putin. So, of course, he didn't go home. He had already moved his family to Switzerland, and right now he's seeking political asylum and has it granted for a certain period of time. Boris Bedvedev spoke against his government. But, you know, for most of his years as a diplomat, he spoke for the Kremlin. It was kind of irrelevant what he thought. And you know what? Diplomats in the world today, most of the time it's quite irrelevant what their personal thoughts are on situations. Their job is to represent who has sent them. Now, we have a perfect sender. We have the Lord Jesus. And we are diplomats. We are ambassadors to Christ. We're ambassadors. We represent the King. There's a brother I've been listening to recently online. He speaks. He's a wonderful Bible teacher, and he always refers to his audience as, he'll say something like, "Dear child of God, listen to this." And I love that. It's a little bit, you know, it could be a little cheesy, but that's a wonderful phrase, child of God. You know what? There's great dignity in being a child of God. There's great dignity to being a saint. To being saved. Now, as Travis mentioned on Sunday, it's a good point. We ought not to ever think highly of ourselves because we're saved. But the idea is There is great value and worth to being an ambassador, a diplomat of the Lord Jesus. And you know what? You have to have the knowledge of his will, what he wants for us as believers in order to be a good diplomat, in order to be a good ambassador of Christ. You have to have spiritual wisdom. You have to have understanding. If any of you, remember James says, if any of you lacks understanding, seek it from him. He's the one that gives us our instructions. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus. One thought that comes to mind, something that I have really come to appreciate in the last couple of years, it might maybe has even come out recently as if I've shared, fellowship, the fellowship of believers. You know, I have really become a hard, fast, pretty hardcore on fellowship guy recently because I love it. It offers such protection, and the scriptures speak about it constantly. Fellowship of believers. There is great worth to being a child of God in an assembly of believers, in a group gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. There's great protection in that. And you know what? There's great weight on you being a believer. You know, if I seen Brother Jacques stumbling out of a bar on Friday night, it would be something, and obviously why I'm picking him is because I would never see him do that. That's why it would be obvious that I have to pick someone who would never be caught doing that. You know, remember the scriptures say in Thessalonians to stay away from every appearance of evil? Why? Because he doesn't just represent Jacques Boisvert. He represents all of us. He gathers with us. He's a believer of the Charlottetown Bible Chapel. And more than that, he's obligated to, as a believer, walk in a manner worthy of his Lord Jesus. He's an ambassador. That's why it's so important that we walk as children of God. We walk in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus. This is something I have loved learning recently. To please him in all respects. You know, it's very interesting about the tabernacle system. The Levites, there's a great little study here on this. The Levites' work was done behind the first veil. Nobody else seen the work of the Levites. The whole camp didn't see it, not all the Israelites. It was just the Levites who worked in that private area where they dealt with God, where they offered sacrifices, where all the special, the table of showbread and the lampstand, where they served God. You know what? Nobody saw them but God. God is a God who sees. God sees you. He sees the work you're doing for him, or the lack of it. He sees your heart, he sees your motives, and he sees what you're doing. So I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, I know there are many of you here who do things that no one will ever see on the face of the earth. Good. Keep it that way. Keep it that way. You serve a God who sees. He sees. You're serving him. You're not serving man. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus. Almost done here. In all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. I don't have time to go into this bearing fruit. That is a wonderful study. Man, I would love to talk on that. We're just out of time. I'm going to maybe just speak on the last couple words of this verse. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. I'd just like to encourage you tonight, as I have been encouraged by this passage recently. Increase in the knowledge of God. Increase in knowing who he is, what he's like, his character. You know why? Because it'll change you from the inside out. It'll change you. You know what? I think many believers, not speaking necessarily of anyone specifically in this room, there are many believers, they stay at this level their whole lives. Immature believers. You know why? I wonder, is it because they've never actually fed their spiritual self? You know, when you first get saved, a 10-minute devotional in the morning, a 10-minute morning devotional, the milk of the word, that's quite sustaining for a while. But if you're to mature, your appetite needs to grow. Do you ever think that possibly when your flesh acts up, it's because you're hungry? You're hungry. You need some spiritual food. I wonder how many of us, I was challenged by this increasing in the knowledge of God. How often am I starving? I'm starving, and I have not fed myself on the word. Get in the book. How many times have you heard that from the pulpits in this spot before? Get in the book. A million. I've been a child from the very beginning coming up to the chapel.
I've heard that, but it is so, so true. Get in the book. Get to know who God is, what he's like, and what he has requested, and what he requires of you as a believer. You'll be changed for it. It's not to do. It's not just to know information. The information, the knowledge, is just a means. It's not the end. The end is like what Paul would say, that we may know him. I have counted all things loss for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Be encouraged, saints. Be encouraged to study, to dig in, to really hammer it, because you know there's a lot of gold in this book.